Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Now for the reason that you all tune in. Today is Wednesday. It is Wednesday the 19th of August. This is 2020. Like it or not. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey. What's up?
I have Brian Lowkey Chaffin today. Also with me today,
Someone sent me the evolution of the owlbear art from D&D.
Oh.
And it's not my fault that I happened to see that email just as you were talking to me. It's not my fault. It's your fault for your timing.
Okay. I'll take that. Also with me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Sup, dude.
Oh, so it's that show today. All right. I have both of you here today so that we can talk about the fall releases from Apple. So the thing that we know for certain this year is that an iPhone is coming. And the reason that we know that it's coming is because it's not coming when we have traditionally expected it. They told us on the most recent earnings call that it wasn't going to be until October. That's the only part we know for sure.
Mid-October.
Yeah. So, but this caused an interesting discussion about Apple's fall releases and what's going to happen with those. So I kind of want to dig into that with you because we've heard, John, a couple of other things are going to come at, like either at the same time or hot on the heels of the new phone, right?
Yeah, let's talk to the phones first and we'll move on to the other objects. I'm seeing pretty good rumors that there's going to be four iPhone 12s of various sizes. And there's a lot of discussion about whether they're all going to be 5G. We talked about that the other day in the morning meeting, and I think we agreed that they're all going to be 5G to avoid confusion in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte detected a report that there was going to be a 4G iPhone 12 maybe coming later to sort of clarify the market line.
Mm-hmm. That it would be separate. Okay.
Yeah. So there's going to be a smaller iPhone 12, like 4.7, and then there's going to be the big ones, and then there's going to be the Pros. It works out to four models.
Okay. That seems like a lot of phones. Especially because Apple doesn't take the old ones off the market. Like, if you walked in... Well, that would be my question.
The argument was that
in years past that hasn't been the way.
Broader section of price points. Mm-hmm. That Apple in the global market now, Apple needs to do a little bit better on competition aspect, and so I have to have a lower end model, not as low end as the SE, but not $1,100 either.
Well, the SE is not low end. Like, I mean, it's a lower price. But it's a very nice phone. It's a current model phone. I mean, not because they still sell it, but because the insides are basically an iPhone 11. So,
yeah, but the price is what, $499?
Something like that. Yeah. But it's what did we decide it was, I think, was the 10R. Maybe it's the 10R camera and the 10S innards. Something like that. And, or maybe it was 11 innards. I don't remember now. But we talked about it when it came out. And... it's basically a current phone. So, you know, if it's something that you're interested in having something that's a smaller size, maybe if you're somebody like me who likes for your phone to fit in your pocket, because I'm weird that way, it's an attractive option for you.
You know, there's another possibility too. Let me preface what I'm about to say by prefacing it. with caveats.
Yes.
And set-asides. We are at the point in Apple's usual product release cycle where the rumors are solid. Mm-hmm. And that there absolutely tends to be a really, really good fire all stoked up behind that smoke.
Yes.
But what if... these different models of iPhone 12 that Apple is surely working on, because again, we are at the stage where the rumors are usually correct. What if some of them are intended for specific markets? for instance, maybe one is intended for the Indian market or the Brazilian market, some of the emerging markets where price is more of an issue. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, the idea being that Apple will in fact release four iPhones, but they're not necessarily all going to be coming from AT&T and right. Verizon.
And not necessarily all even here, right? So...
But precisely, yeah. Not all
a phone developed for India,
European market
would not be sold in the United States. So okay, that I feel like that's a far more realistic take than what I've seen, which is Apple's going to roll out five phones, you know, four phones, and you're still going to be able to buy an 11 or an 11 Pro, and by the time you decide what model, then you have to figure out what capacity and all of that. So. I like that idea, Brian. That seems a lot more interesting and a lot more aware of really the world market. Though.
Well, the normal process is there's the base model, like the iPhone 10, and then there's a 10 or 11, and then there's the 10 or 11 Pro, which has got the better cameras, and then there's the 10 or 11 Pro Max, which is a bigger display. Mm-hmm. And the rumors I saw suggested that there's one more at the bottom of the line mm-hmm. to accommodate people who want a slightly smaller display. Well, that's the only reasoning I have on that.
Well, I like Brian's reasoning that it could be the phone in India or someplace like that.
Well, has Apple done that before, or they customized the modem for regions? I mean, I think there are probably very minor variations in the telephone modems in these mm-hmm. iPhones for different countries, but they're generally global phones because you got to be able to pack up your phone, get on an airplane, and go to Dubai and make a phone call. So
back when that was a thing, yes.
Yeah, in the before times.
Yes, well, in the before times.
So what Apple has done is continue to sell older phones in the Indian market in particular.
Yes.
So I think it's been a while since they did that. So it would be a change. My theory, my preface with my caveats would in fact be a change in model for Apple to pursue if that's actually what Apple did. But at the mm-hmm. same time, so is having four brand new models. That's mm-hmm. also a change in model.
Right.
So
what I'm excited about is kind of change. What I'm excited about is the iPhone 13, which is rumored to have a periscope camera.
Oh, for corn's sake, John.
It turns me on. You know what that is, right? I wrote about it in Particle Debris.
Well,
tell us, John.
Please tell us.
You have a prism or a mirror behind the lens that shoots the light path down inside the phone so that you can have a longer focal length, increasing your telephoto capabilities dramatically. Right now, the focal length of your lenses is limited by the thickness of the phone, but a periscope shoots the light down the side of the phone on the inside.
Ooh, John, here. What if Apple used a periscope lens array not to give us a longer focal length, but to get rid of the bulge?
Oh.
What bulge?
The camera bump.
Yeah, the camera bump.
Well, the bump is part of increasing the focal length. Yeah. Well, when you can increase the focal length from, say, 5 or 6 millimeters down to, you know, 20 millimeters, yeah, then it's easy to get rid of the bump because it's just a small fraction of the total focal length.
Then
so that's a good observation.
That might
Apple could have its cake and eat it too, get rid of the bump and also still give a longer focal length.
In the Periscope article I mentioned, Particle Debris, they didn't talk about getting rid of the bump. That's a great observation, Brian.
That would be awesome.
Well, I already kind of screwed the pooch with my whole maybe stuff is intended for India. So
I think that's a good idea, though.
Have a good one.
So I'm behind that idea, Brian.
But that's
iPhone
13.
Yeah. I mean, remember, I run a home for crackpot theories. So if that's what that turns out to be, then I come out ahead either way. But I think it makes a lot of sense. Yes, I think it makes a lot of sense, though. So I'm into it. Right now, however, what I'd like to do is take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Devon Technologies, and they make an app called DevonThink for your Mac. It is the most professional document and information management application you can get for the fire hose that is your life in 2020. You can collect, organize, annotate, and file all kinds of documents without ever leaving the app. You can have local files of whatever information that you need right alongside online documents like a Google Doc or something out of Dropbox. You can organize those files into groups, or you can give them tags, or you can do both. If that's your jam, you do you. You can have smart rules like smart playlists in iTunes, and you can have reminders for any of those documents. And even if you're not a programmer, you can build automation so that your computer can handle all of the boring, repetitive stuff for you. That's why we have computers, right? So you can take all of those things and put them all together and turn DevonThink into something that is really, really useful for you, which could be totally different than how it's really useful for me. Now, for being my listener, and thank you for that, by the way, you get a 10% discount not only on a shiny new DevonThink 3 full license, but you can also get 10% off an upgrade if you go to devontechnologies.com/TDO, devontechnologies.com/TDO gets you 10% off a full version or an upgrade. And we'd like to thank DevonThink for sponsoring the show today. Now, let's get back to our conversation about what Apple's up to in the fall. And so we've talked about the phones a little bit. And Brian, I am behind your theory on there being one for India or someplace.
I don't recommend that. I don't recommend being on board with Apple, my nonsense.
Well, Apple has done that in the past. I mean, we did have different care, you know. There's a Verizon phone, you know, in the olden times we had the Verizon phone and the AT&T phone and they were different and that kind of stuff. So it wouldn't be the first time that Apple had to do something based on the market where they were trying to sell phones. So what I'd like to do, though, is spend a minute and talk about some of the other stuff that we think Apple's coming out with in the fall. Right, John?
Like the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Series 6.
Mm-hmm.
Which is almost certain, as Brian pointed out, the rumors are starting to solidify. Which is almost certain they'd have a pulse oximeter.
That is really interesting to me.
Still no blood glucose, though. That's the holy grail. It turns out to be a tough problem.
Well, that was going to be my question, is how possible is it to even do that if it's not, yeah, if it's non-invasive?
You can do blood oxygen through optics because of the optics of the blood change in certain wavelengths, and so you can detect that.
Okay.
But blood sugar without being invasive, without having to do a prick, is really tough.
Yeah.
As we've talked about on the show before, there's some suggestion that you might be able to get at it indirectly through perspiration, sugar content of perspiration related to the sugar content in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been tough to do, or the way they have it by now, and the calibration of that is hard. And mm-hmm. how you get the hand to perspire under the watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you get the wrist to perspire may require, you know, megawatts of laser power and burn your wrist.
Stick your arm out. The Apple satellite will heat it up. And then once it's sweaty.
I think it's coming, but it's been tough. And it's a lot of engineering. The pulse oximeter is pretty easy because everybody has one in the drawer. You know, it's like a little infrared device.
Okay. Well, I don't know a lot about that. Pulse ox is not something I've necessarily had to spend a lot of time worrying about myself. So I don't know how easy it is to measure the rest of the time.
Well, it can come in really handy during this pandemic because the COVID virus interferes with your ability to breathe and lowers your blood oxygen. That's why you have to get on oxygen or a worst case a ventilator. So it can be an early indicator of a breathing problem.
But that's also a thing that, like, Apple has continued to add health features to the watch. So that's been an interesting evolution. So this one just seems to be sort of timely, you know, through no fault of its own, I guess.
How can the Apple Watch get any cooler? I mean, it's just got so much stuff.
Oh, come on, John. The Apple Watch can get way cooler. It, for instance,
I was being facetious.
Okay. Sorry. I thought you were.
But I really want to know what, Brian, you think would make it cooler.
It could do sleep tracking.
Well, the next one's going to.
You could last long enough to do sleep tracking.
Well, it's going to, right? Like, haven't we heard that?
Yes, we have heard that. How it's going to work, we don't know.
Right. I will say that I wear mine for, not necessarily for the sleep tracking, although that's nice. I wear it because having my...
Well, it doesn't do it yet, so what do you mean?
No, I use a third-party app for sleep tracking that tracks on my watch. But what I do use is the alarm. My alarm goes off on my phone, but it goes off on my watch first. And it's just a little, you know, the buzz on your wrist. And that is a very nice way to wake up, especially when I have to wake up at a time that I do not particularly enjoy and, in fact, refused to recognize until recently as a time that existed when people woke up. So,
dark 30.
Basically, yeah. I like to call it stupid o'clock. And I have to roll out of bed at stupid o'clock now. And so having my watch gently buzz my wrist in the morning is far more pleasant than any of the pleasant alarm noises that Apple will give me. So I have found that to be really nice. And then I drop my watch on my charger when I'm in the shower. I drop it on the charger. Like, if I'm eating lunch, you know, I'm not going to go anywhere for like 20, 30 minutes. I give it a little boost throughout the day and it's fine. Like, I haven't had trouble with this and I've been doing it for months and it's a good system, at least for me. Like, I've worked out a routine where I have times when I can make sure that it's charging. So at least I do have to, like, it's a habit now, so I don't have to think about it as much, but I did have to think about, like, when are the times when I know it's not going to be worth tracking anything on my arm and I can just put my watch on the charger. So that's the thing that I tend to do. Now, I do agree with Brian, the battery life is a thing that would be nice. I would like to think less about that. But yeah, I'd like to also talk about what else we think is coming down the pike this fall.
John Prosser says there's going to be an announcement on September 7th about a new iPad, but he didn't write iPad Pro.
And well, Brian, the iPad Pro was just announced. I mean, it was just updated.
Yeah, so it's probably...
I've got one.
Yeah, so it's probably the is it 349
iPad? It was in the before times, and everything in the before times kind of, you know...
Was 6 years ago.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. So, do we think then, John, that this will be the regular iPad?
Yes.
The mere mortal iPad, as I like to call it. The 349, yeah. I think it is now.
I would think so.
Something.
Because the iPad Air has also been, Air 2 has also been updated fairly recently.
Do we think maybe it'll be the iPad and the iPad Mini will get a nudge?
I don't think we'll see a new iPad Mini.
Okay.
Apple doesn't pay too much attention to that. They updated the iPad Mini to the 5, but they had to do that in order to allow it to run iOS 13.
I know. So, but I was just sort of hopeful maybe they would go, see, we do take it seriously. Here's another update. Like,
Kelly, you're so cute.
I know. I'm an optimist. Nice Apple, it's nice a thing I do. Apple
put more enthusiasm into the iPad Mini. I have an iPad Mini 5, and I love it. It's just the right size for some uses.
I have had my eye on one for a little while. I have the 10.5 Pro, like the last one that looked like an iPad that didn't have the chamfered edges, you know, the kind of square edges that the iPad Pro has now. So I think it's I don't remember which measurement it is, but I have like the last iPad Pro that has kind of the curved sides. And I've kind of been looking at the Mini because that seems like a nice way to get a little upgrade without, you know, it's got pencil support and everything and without breaking the bank. So it's a thing that I've been sort of toying with.
I keep one in my nightstand. It's perfect for checking on things real quick.
Uh-huh.
It's really, 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 really light and small.
Yeah.
And it's great for reading in bed.
Yeah, it seems nifty. So I've been considering it. So what do you think, Brian? New regular iPad?
Yeah, probably the regular iPad. I mean, it could be the Air. I don't actually even understand why Apple still sells the Air and the regular iPad. It's that seems like a weird choice to me. But yeah, it certainly won't be a Pro. Like John, I doubt it'll be the Mini.
Yeah.
Unlike you, I don't think that
you do not share my optimism that Apple gives any Fs about the little one?
No, correct. I do not.
Yeah.
I do not.
I am not surprised. So, it could just be me, and I understand that it could just be me. But if it's not, if you are one of those people who also thinks that it would be really nice if there were an iPad Mini 6, observations at MacObserver.com. Please let me know. I'm not the only one out there. Thank you. So we're gonna get a lot of stuff. I mean, if we get four phones, that's a lot of phones. We generally, well, the last couple of times we've gotten three, because we got the 11, the 11 Pro, and the Pro Max. So that's three. And then did we get three the year before that with the 10S? Because we got the 10S, the 10S Max. Did we get the 10R at the same time? So yeah, that was three phones. So Apple's kind of done this three phone thing before, so it would be interesting to see how they add a fourth. I guess we'll find out. So
I'll be buying one.
All right. Well, when we do get them, you can be sure you will hear all about it here. Everything that's right about them and everything that makes us kind of grumpy, because we do have Brian on the show. So that's going to do it for us today, though.
Wretched, smash it, pletch it.
That's going to do it for us today. I want to thank both of you for being here. Brian, get off my lawn. Chaffin, thanks for coming by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Kelly.
It really makes me happy to give you those little nicknames at the end of the show. Also with me today, I have John Martellera. Thanks, John, for coming by.
This closes our edition of Weird Wednesday.
Okay, sure it does. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.